Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. I'm Steve Williamson, and Mike Costantino is sitting across from me. Today, we'll have for 2 weeks, we'll be talking to Professor Lane Kenworthy. Lane Kenworthy teaches down at the University of Arizona. He's a well-known researcher and political scientist. He's written a bunch of books. Should we worry about inequality? Is work in progress, right?
I love this list. It tells the story of
yeah. I think progress for the poor. Oxford University Press. Jobs with equality. That would be great, wouldn't it, Mike? Egalitarian capitalism. That's an interesting.
Like military intelligence.
Yeah, and in search of national economic success. Certainly, we all would like to see that. Lane, let me ask you to say hello, and then Mike wants to read a couple of quotes here.
Good morning, Professor.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. It's okay. Yeah, we talked about the we're kind of theming these things on what is government for? What is government good for? And you had a in your materials had a great Abraham Lincoln quote that I'm going to take a look at. That the legitimate object of government is to do for a community of people. The object of government is to do for a community of people whatever they need to have done but cannot do, whether they cannot do it at all or they cannot do it well. For themselves and their individual capacities. So there's a role for government. And then we went on and we talked about you and I just before the show talked about the Jared Bernstein quote let me just try to get this one in. If many Americans don't believe in or understand what government does to help them, to offset recession, to protect their security in retirement and hard times, to maintain the infrastructure, to provide educational opportunities and health care decent enough to offset the disadvantages so many of us have, if these functions are unknown to people, then why should they care about who cuts, where the next cuts are coming from and where the next cuts go? And so there is this just overwhelming, it seems like overwhelming anti-government sentiment that's paraded and exploded and by many candidates and the media.
Yeah, let me say something about the Lincoln quote, because I think, you know, all of us have grown up with government, and we a lot of times really take for granted, I think, all of the things that we need government to do, not just that government does, but that we actually need it to do, because we really wouldn't do it or do it very well if it was all left to the private sector or left up to us as individuals or communities. And there's a long list of things, from physical safety, you know, policing, the military, to money. We might have currencies, but they'd be so disjointed and disorganized that our economy wouldn't function nearly as well. Protection of basic liberties, from speech to political participation to religious practice to thought, clean air and water, sewage disposal, services for the disabled, schooling, all kinds of very basic stuff that we sometimes forget about, take for granted, because government's always been there. Another example, very timely, is disaster prevention and cleanup. So there are big storms been moving across the southeast and up through New England, and all across that area right now there are people working for local governments, mainly some for the federal government, who are busy helping clean up and getting society back or communities and the economy back on their feet. as they almost always do. That's not to say that government works really, really well or perfectly in every case, but of course neither does the private sector, and neither do we as individuals. Mistakes are made.
FEMA is a dirty word, but it helps so many people. I mean, it's, you know, you can put the people, the mistakes that it's made in one corner and put the millions that it's helped in another corner, and you know, it comes out ahead.
I mean, what would people do without Social Security? People I work with, I just don't know.
That's right. And so the insurance function of government is as important as any other. That's things like Social Security and Medicare and an array of smaller programs. Social Security and Medicare are by far the biggest, but they're an array of smaller programs that we pay taxes for, and they're essentially forms of insurance against bad events or conditions that can happen to any one of us, or our kids, or our parents, or our neighbors. And again, you know, I want to stress that government doesn't always do everything right, to be sure. So that doesn't mean the better thing is to shrink it into nothing or to do away with it, any more than we'd want to get rid of the military just because occasionally the military spends way too much on equipment or makes the wrong call in a battle or a particular war. That doesn't mean we want to necessarily get rid of it. We certainly want it to be as efficient and effective as possible, and we want that with our other programs too. But that's a far cry from saying we'd be a much better society if we had a lot less government. I just don't simply think that's true, and it turns out that most Americans don't think that either. We have a long history of public opinion surveys that paint a very consistent picture of what Americans on average tend to think. So if you ask a very general type of question about whether they think it'd be better if government were bigger or smaller, a lot of Americans will say smaller. But when you ask them about particular programs, and you can go down a pretty lengthy list and find that with only a couple of exceptions, most Americans think that if anything, we ought to be spending more on various programs. Again, from Social Security to schools to health insurance to crime prevention, you name it. In almost every case, Americans like the programs that we have, or at least most of them, like for the most part the way that they're handled, and if anything, think we ought to be spending more.
Yet we have this raging anti-government stuff. It's one thing to be, we were talking in another show, it's one thing to be skeptical of government. It's another thing to have this raging hatred of government, and we have Republican candidates saying we should go back to 1900 in terms of hurricane relief. And what accounts for that, do you think?
Well, there is a segment of our society, I roughly estimated at about 20% of Americans, who believe deeply in a much smaller government, who really do think that our society would be better if we spent less, and will say in response to these questions about particular programs, yeah, I think we ought to spend less on them. But that's a fairly small minority. A big part of what's going on right now is the economic crisis and its aftermath. We've got, as I said, a pretty long history of pretty good public opinion survey data, which tell us that when the economy goes bad, people get frustrated, and they look for someone to blame or something to blame. And so the share of people who will respond to a question like, how much confidence do you have in Congress or in the president or in government or in general, a larger share during bad economic times will say, I don't have any confidence in them, or I have only a little bit of confidence. Interestingly, the same thing is true of the private sector. If you ask that type of question about large companies or banks, there too, during bad economic times, the share saying, I don't have any confidence or I have very little, will go way up because people want to blame someone. And that's very understandable, of course. Government's an easy target. And there are, again, instances where it's a legitimate target. But a big part of what's going on right now is economic times are hard and people want someone to blame, and they don't feel government's been effective in solving the problem.
Well, and it does go against the whole, I'm going to read a Kenworthy quote here, that although themes of opportunity, and I like this, although themes of opportunity and prosperity dominate American culture, the American dream, the disappearing American dream, according to certain progressive organizations, that we have these themes in American culture, but that more than 1 in 10 Americans is poor, according to the official government measure, inequality has increased markedly over the past generation, and the United States is more unequal than any other affluent country. says Ken. Lane Kenworthy, not Ken Laneworthy. But yeah, that's part of, we have this overarching theme that we think opportunity is part of our fabric. And yet, is it?
Well, this gets to what I think of as a much longer term issue. So this is separate from the recession that began in 2008 and officially ended a couple years ago, but in reality is continuing on. This this question of economic opportunity and upward mobility and related issues like poverty and economic inequality, things really began to change in the middle of the 1970s. We had a period following World War II and lasting 2.5 or 3 decades up to the mid-1970s where our economy was growing very steadily. Wages were increasing really throughout the distribution, not just for those at the top or even those in the middle, but all the way down to the bottom. People were able to see their real incomes and real living standards double in about a generation. And we also, at the same time, had a slight decrease in income inequality, that is, the gap between the top and the bottom, and a pretty large reduction in the share of Americans who were living under the official poverty line. Since the mid-70s, that's really changed. It's not as though we've gone backwards. We have in a few respects. What's really changed is that the amount of progress we've made has diminished pretty severely. So wages in the middle of the distribution for a typical worker have increased only a tiny bit since the mid-1970s in inflation-adjusted terms. That's an enormous, enormous change from what happened in the couple of decades before that. And it's not because the economy stopped growing. So that's an easy hypothesis to look at. Don't have any growth. But that's not the case. Our economy's grown a little slower than it did right after World War II, but it's grown at a pretty healthy clip with, of course, periodic recessions. So wage growth slowed down. Growth of incomes for the median family has been pretty slow, and at the bottom it's been almost non-existent. The poverty rate is, even before the recession, it was roughly the same as it was back in 1973. Now it's even a little higher, of course, because of the economic crisis. So, yeah, this, I think, is also part of the reason for the general frustration with government, is that there's a share of Americans who really don't think that their well-being or their living standards have been enhanced much by the way our economy's been functioning the last couple of decades.
Thank you, Lane. And folks, turn in next week, and we'll talk further about income inequality, what's going on, collapse of at least it feels like a collapse of the middle class. And
I want to mention his blog. I love the name of his blog. Consider the Evidence is the name of Elaine Kenworthy's blog.
I think he's one of the great empirical researchers in the social sciences. I mean, personally, and followed his work now for years. He'll be with us on the show next week. We'll be talking about the same issues. He's coming. He's going to be speaking at the Door Breakfast December 15th, What Government is Good For. We hope you'll turn in. You can get a podcast of all our shows by going on our website, and the address is, Mike?
www.vvid.org.
And you can find, if you want to re-listen to Professor Kenworthy's points, you can find those there. You can go back and listen to Noam Chomsky or Avi Chomsky or any of the other great interviews that we've interviewees that we've had.
Labor Day next week.
Labor Day next week. We'll be continuing our discussion with Lane Kenworthy.
We're going to talk about labor, I believe, at least that's going to be part of our theme.
Labor is kind of a dirty word.
Well, he just ended the wages haven't gone up. I mean, we're going to find out why. You know, why has profits have increased, all sorts of things, economy, but not wages. And we know that pretty well.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.